I'll be reading from the book of Exodus 4 this evening. This is where the message will be from. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." And he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back inside your cloak." So he put his hand back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. "If they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground." But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." But he said, "O my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I shall be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand his staff, with which you shall do the signs." Verse 18. Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead." So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I've put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son.' And I say to you, let my son go that he may serve you. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son." At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, "Surely you're a bridegroom of blood to me." So he led him alone. It was then that she said, "A bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision." The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they had heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Anele. Well, I have a simple theme this evening, and I have no slides because I have one point tonight. And the second reason is my memory stick is somewhere in a box. Couldn't find it. So, obedience anchored in faith, like in the bulletin. That's the theme of my message tonight. And I have just this one point that I want to drive home tonight. obedience, anger, and faith. But before we go any further, let's just pray. Father, we do need thee every hour. But we thank you that you are always Emmanuel, God, with us. And so, Father, this evening we pray that you will speak to us directly. Father, we so want to hear your voice. But help us not only tonight to listen and to hear, but also to ask questions and to act. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you've been around a few Sundays, you'll know that we've looked at Moses and all the things that he's been busy with. And last time we saw Moses, he was this highly educated, highly qualified guy, well-trained. He was a wealthy man, had everything going for himself. But now we find a different man at the burning bush, a man that has been broken, now much older. Moses is aware of his limitations. We have seen in chapter 3 that Moses was already doubting that he was adequate, the adequate man for the job. Last week we saw a little bit of that. But here in chapter 4, we see that he is convinced that he would not be an effective tool in God's hands. And he so wants to get out of this mission. He's sure that no one is going to believe him when he gets there. In 4:10, we see he actually makes a case for his own incompetence. And you don't often find that people make out a case for your own incompetence. But we have to remember Moses is now 80. It's been 40 years. Been 40 years of questions and you know, time is a way of really dealing with us. And you know, there's a saying, time heals all wounds. That's rubbish. Time doesn't heal all wounds. It causes them to linger. It actually becomes worse. If you ever have a cut on your leg and just leave it and say time will heal all wounds, well, you probably need stitches, not just time. Egypt has been bad to him. He was full of passion. He was a man of action. But now he's just a guy looking after sheep. No ambition. So God could have done this differently, right? Have you thought about that as we've gone along? So why did God not do this whole thing differently? Why let Moses go through all of this? Why not just make him king of Egypt straight away? Have you thought about that? I've certainly thought about that. Why did God not just kill the king of Egypt? And, you know, there's a, you know, even in England, there's a succession. And Moses had to be somewhere in line to the throne. Why did God not just kill everyone? And then Moses was king and he could let the people out. Well, I think there's one thing we learn from the story. God never works in the way that we would imagine he would. I know if you've lived long enough, you know that already. God works in his own way with his own purposes in mind. And so Moses was the person God wanted for the job, but God wanted Moses to go through a period of trials and tribulations to mold him and make him the man that he could use. Here's what we see in these verses. And as a matter of fact, the rest of the Bible, God gives his word, and when we obey his word, his power is revealed. When we talk about obedience anchored in faith, I've got two sons, and sometimes when they want to do something, I tell them no. And generally, most of the time, they will leave it. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that happens? Because they believe I'm their dad. We've tried to convince them that they are adopted, but they won't believe us. So they believe I'm their dad. They know. I've held them in my arms ever since they were little babies. I'm the father they know. The second thing they believe when they disobey me, there will be consequences. In their mind, they think, if I do this, my dad will definitely do this, so I'll leave it. And that's how our obedience works with God as well. We obey because we believe. What do we believe? Do we believe God is God and that He's our Father? And do we also believe what will the consequences be if we do not believe, if we are not obedient? God's power does not rely on our obedience, and I want to make that clear. God does not need us to get anything done. He uses us, but His power does not rely on our obedience. But there is an order to grace, and it's salvation, obedience, and then blessing. See God's power work. So when we step into obedience, we see and experience God's power in our lives. God speaks to Moses, but it's only when Moses grabs the snake's tail that God's power is revealed. God tell him to, you know, throw his staff down. We see this in verse 3. I don't know if you picked up on this, throwing it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. Now listen here. If you're a snake man, you're probably not like me. Natasha tells this, but it's a true story. We were still dating, and I was still trying to impress this girlfriend of mine, and I took her to the zoo. And that's what real men do. You take your girl to the zoo. And we were walking at the zoo, and I took her to see the lions, because, you know, trying to show her I'm like these lions, strong and reliable. And the next moment, true story, a snake, not a rubber snake, a real snake, just in front of us, goes by, just in front of us. And before I knew it, I was right there, and Natasha was still here. I tell you, snakes, there's no such thing as a good snake. Tim in church will tell you there's even such a thing as a good bite. I disagree. I think all bites are a bad bite. So snakes, it brings fear to our hearts. Moses was a shepherd. Do you think this was Moses' first snake? No. What it tells us that the snake he saw, he knew and recognized that this is one of the bad ones. You should get away. So, because people read these verses and it's difficult to visualize. There's a snake and it's a cute little snake and it's beautiful. You just pick it up and it's easy to pick it up. No, Moses ran away. So that tells us that this was a vicious snake. 40 years in looking after sheep, Moses knows what's going on here. But he had to obey. He had to obey. So God calls him back and commands that man to grab that snake by its tail. And that was a test for Moses. What would he do? But Moses, confronted by his fear, chose to obey God's command. Didn't care what will happen. And then we see the snake turn back to a staff. So what does God require of Moses here? He requires obedience rooted in faith. Obedience rooted in faith. That's why what he requires of all of us here tonight. Obedience rooted in faith. Everything in us kicks against obeying God. I don't have to tell you that, right? I mean, do you just, you know, there's something in me that wants to do what I want to do. And it's in you as well. Our sinful nature wants us to follow our desires, whatever we want, instead of what God wants. And so, obedience is not easy. If you are not a Christian today, and you think if you become a Christian, it'll all be easy, I have bad news for you. It's not. It's worth it. But obedience is not easy. And so, it requires genuine faith and sacrifice. When we don't like obeying God, we have to see who God is. And when we see who God is, obedience becomes easier. Just like my kids recognize that I'm their father, I look after them, I love them, I care for them, they will obey me. In the same way, we see God and we want to obey Him. Now, I think it requires us to trust that God knows best because He is the best. My kids trust me. They probably shouldn't always trust me, but they do. I would tell them, try this food, because they've never tasted it in their life. I've tasted it. I know what it's like. Or I would say, you can jump in here. The water is deep. Well, he's never done that, but he does it because he trusts me. So we trust God because God is the best. He knows best. We don't always understand God's commands. I don't always understand why he wants me to do it. And to be honest, sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes obedience is scary. And we often try to justify our disobedience. And we see Moses doing that next. See if you can identify verse 1. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not send you.'" See, Moses knew he left Egypt. Neither the Hebrews nor the Egyptians had a liking in him. He wasn't the famous guy, the favorite guy of either group. He was not quite a Jew because he was the prince of Egypt. He was not quite an Egyptian because he had Jewish blood running through his veins. Now, trying to justify why he shouldn't obey, he says, they won't listen anyway. What Moses is doing here is something that most of us do at some point. He uses his past as an excuse not to be obedient in the present. I want you to hear that tonight. People tell me, "Lukey, you know, you don't know what I've done in my past. People know what I've done. I can't go back. Or I'm not worthy. I'm disqualified from being used by God in a powerful and profound way because this is what happened to me in the past." Now, not many people will be used by God like Moses. But he will use you at work, at home, everywhere, if you choose to believe and obey in faith. By faith, we can obey. Without faith, it's impossible. So be faithful where you are. Not everybody will lead thousands and millions like Moses, but we can be faithful where we are. Obedience is not always leading out a nation. Obedience is most of the time being faithful at work, being faithful at university, being a good husband, being a good wife, be a good son or daughter to your parents. Achieve at school, do your best. Showing Jesus to your family. Not because you qualify, but because God is able to enable you. That's important. Because I also feel inadequate. I also feel like I shouldn't be preaching this to you because I am not able. But when we realize who God is and who we are in Him and that God is able to enable us, we obey. And we have to get over our past. Moses had a terrible past. I don't think any of you have a past like Moses. He murdered somebody in cold blood. He had a terrible past. He lost everyone and everything he held dear. He failed at helping his people. He wanted so badly to help the Hebrews get out of Egypt, but he failed completely. But no, God never tells Moses, "Moses, you must really work on your self-esteem, buddy." Moses, "No, no, no. Come on, come on. Look in the mirror, tell yourself you're a great man. Tell yourself you're powerful. You can do this." You see, our problem is never how we see ourselves. Our problem is how we see God. And then add to that how we see God working in us as our obedience is anchored in faith and in His abilities, not ours. That's why obedience is scary, because what will happen if I? Or it's a great sacrifice. Am I able to? The more you focus on your self-esteem, the worse your self-esteem gets. I've learned that in life. Now, when I was in high school, we were taught you have to love yourself, because the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So therefore, work hard at loving yourself. Love yourself, man, please. I never have to work at loving myself. I always love myself. That's the core of our sinful nature. Isn't it true? We all love ourselves more than we love God. That's the problem. So we have to focus on God and not ourselves. We have to get over ourselves. Now, God gives Moses three signs to encourage and help him. And God uses signs to teach people something about himself. It's not always like, woo, people are amazed and God looks great. God is teaching when he allows miracles to be performed, or where he does it himself. So what is God communicating through these signs? I just want to look at each of them quickly and then we'll be done. And it won't be long. The first one is a staff becomes a serpent. Verse 2. We already read that earlier. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a pic of the Pharaoh's crown, the king of Egypt's crown. What is there in front? A snake, isn't it? The hooded cobra facing out to the enemies of Egypt. That is a sign of power and of sovereign rule. When Pharaoh put on that crown, he, in the view of everybody else in Egypt, became God. And so to show Moses, who fled from Pharaoh, and the Hebrews who were still suffering under his rule, that God thinks nothing of this powerful king, God shows him what he thinks of that snake. God's power is far greater than the power of Egypt. Don't be afraid, Moses, Hebrews, don't be afraid. I am more powerful. Egyptians, be very afraid. I am more powerful. The second one we see is a leprosy. That's in verse 6. Again, the Lord said to Abraham, put your hand inside your cloak. And he puts his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, put it back. He did it. Put it back inside your cloak. So when he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Now, leprosy, if you didn't know this back then, was the number one sickness people feared. It was the most terrible illness in the world, most feared by everybody. And if you had leprosy, it was a death sentence. You were going to die. You would have to leave your family. You were a goner. There was no helping. There was no medicine. There was no cure. But we know from ancient writings that the Egyptians spent a lot of money and a lot of resources trying to find a cure. And again, God says, leprosy, that's easy. Now, I tell you now, if you were Moses, I think there was like a moment of panic when he took out that hand and you saw this white leprous hand. I think there was a moment of, whoo, I picked up the snake with this hand. Now, what's going to happen? This is death. And when you read that, you must know when Moses took out that hand and he saw it, it was death. But to God, this was easy. The third one, I think this one would have scared me the most, even worse than the snake, was water from the Nile. Verse 9, take some water from the Nile and pour it out on the ground, on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Now, the Nile was the greatest river. It still is, I think, the greatest river in the world. But it brought life-giving water to Egypt, but it also brought soil. I don't know if you knew that, but it brought this also rich and fertile black soil into this desert land that created the wealth of the Egyptians. Without the Nile, there was no Egypt. As simple as that. And remember now, we're talking about obedience rooted in faith. So God tells Moses, Moses, what I want you to do, take a little bit of water, probably in a cup. Now imagine all the skeptics is in front of him. These people are, Lord, I don't think they're going to believe me, people. And then Moses, what you do is you take that water and you throw it out. And if it hits the ground, it'll turn into blood. You note that the water is not turned into blood right away. Do you think that'll be difficult to you know, faith-wise? I sure hope this water turns into blood. I mean, that takes faith. I would be so nervous. Like, I don't know, man. It's still water. Lord, it's still water in this cup. You have to throw it, Moses. You have to obey. I gave you an instruction. You pour out that water. And I see the water just dropping to the floor and praying, Lord, please. Obedience is not easy. It requires faith. And we read these verses, and it's easy to think, man, you know, it's just easy. Moses, pour a little bit of water. Can you imagine the pressure this man was under? Fled from this country. Now he's back, and God is using him to perform these miracles. Obedience through faith reveals the power of God. Not Moses' power, God's power. I think these signs communicated to the Hebrews and the Egyptians that God was greater than Pharaoh. It communicated that to Moses. Moses needed that. He needed to see that. So I want to ask you this question tonight. Is your life marked by obedience rooted in faith? I'm not asking if your obedience is perfect. I'm not asking if you are struggling, because I think we all are. I don't think any of us have perfect obedience. That's what the cross is for. Praise God. The cross, the grace, forgiveness. When we fail, God, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful, cleanses us of all our sins. That there's grace when we fail. I'm asking if you have a simple desire to obey God because of who He is. To obey Him. A desire. You know, I want to obey God. If your life has no mark other than coming to church on a Sunday of being a Christian, then you're not a Christian. You're not. If there's no desire to obey Him and no seriousness about sin, no relationship with God to speak of, you're not a Christian. Because Christians have a desire to obey. To do. I think you need to realize that obedience pleases God. Everybody wants to please God, right? Coming to church is great. It's part of obedience, by the way. God commands us to not neglect the gathering of the saints. But there's more. There's more. 1 Samuel 15. I love these verses. 22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, listen to this, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Obedience is what brings joy to God's heart. As a parent, I can say amen. As a parent, nothing makes me happier when my kids do what I tell them to do. I tell you now, when you have kids, one day you'll know this feeling. That feeling, you know, when you've taught them something and they actually do it. You know what's even better? When other people see that they do it and you're like, that's my boy. I taught him that he's obedient. And I'm proud of them. You know, there's a sense of pride. What makes God proud of us is when we obey Him. Because we trust Him. Because we have faith in Him. I think we have to at least be stumbling forward, driven by our love for Jesus and His Word and our desire to obey Him. There has to be a desire. Now, I know you're thinking, well, if God showed me some miracles, I would also be like, yes, I'll do it. Isn't it like you had three signs tomorrow morning? Maybe you'll obey God better. But if you think that, you're wrong, because you forget that we have a sinful nature. We have a sinful nature. Let's look at verse 10. But Moses says to the Lord, oh my Lord. And then he starts with his excuses. He calls God Lord. That implies you are my master. I obey you. I follow you. You are the creator. You are God. You can do anything. Yet, I can't obey. You have to. It's not me. Please, Lord, I am not the right person. Moses let his inadequacies trump the power of God and the command of God. What about you? You also let your inadequacies prevent you from getting active in ministry at church? Do you maybe feel like, well, that's for the pastors or the elders or someone else, but I'm far too great a sinner to get involved in evangelism, or I can't be involved in any ministry? No. What matters is God's power, not your competence. Isn't that great news, guys? I mean, you should go tonight, whoo, not up to my competence, because then I would be in trouble. Moses was convinced that he was not competent. But then the Lord said to him in verse 11, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Moses, you worry about how you would speak, what kind of a speaker you are. I don't care. I can take a mute person and make them speak. Moses, I don't need your abilities. I need you to obey. I need you to act because I tell you so, not because you feel like it, not because you qualified, but because I am Lord. Moses, you call me Lord. Now obey. You see, that's why in theology is so important. Now, I know I've often said this, but I believe it with all my heart, because if you believe the right things about God, you will act in a certain way. Obedience will follow. If you believe God is God, I love Him, He's my Father, I have a desire to please Him. Lord, You've commanded me to make disciples of the nations. Lord, I will speak to my neighbor about Jesus, not because I'm a great speaker, or I'm Lord. In fact, I'm a bit shy. But Lord, You are God. You've created the mouth. Please bless me. Help me. I'll obey. Father, You do the work. Some things God require is easy to do. But sometimes God asks us to do something that challenges our hearts and causes us to be fearful. God uses imperfect and often the guy that no one else will pick to accomplish His work. That's a pattern in the Bible if you haven't picked it up. God chooses the one that no one thought would be the guy, or no one thought would be the woman God will use. God says, I'll use her, thank you very much. It's not your skill set that gets the job done, it's God's power. I want you to just be obedient, then I'll unleash my power and you'll see what I can do. People think that they would be miserable if they obeyed God's word because much is required. But the opposite is true. It brings great joy. Luke 11:28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed. It brings great joy to see God's power in your life. When you share the gospel and someone comes to faith, not because you save them, because only God can save. It's wonderful. It's an unbelievable thing to see and experience. It's great to be used by the Master. And some of the happiest people I know here at Central are the people who serve. And some of the most miserable people here at Central are the people who just care about themselves. Just live for themselves. They're always miserable. They're always unhappy. Everything is too much. Some people want to see the power of God. Very excited. Talk about the power of God. Who's in? Who wants to see the power of God at work? Everybody put up their hand, I tell you now. If I said, who wants to see God's power? Everybody, yes. Take me with. So let's go share the gospel with someone. Oof, wait a minute. I don't know about that. Let me close. What I'm challenging you one last time is to have a radical submission to the Lordship of Christ. That's that. Whatever He says, we do. And we do it because we love Him. We do it because He's God. And when we obey, because we believe in Him, we'll see the power of God in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word that is true and that speaks to us, Lord. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that brings it alive. Father, we confess that we often lack obedience. Father, we confess that we often use excuses. Even our past as a reason not to obey. Lord, help us to look beyond who we are. Help us to see who You are, God. Help us to trust in You. Help us to believe that You are a supernatural God that do supernatural things in the lives of those who obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.